Hello, I'm Tony Collins and this is the Rugby Reloaded podcast. I'm going to start this episode by asking three questions. Who was the first American to play professional rugby? Secondly, who was the first transatlantic rugby league player? And thirdly, who was the first black athlete to play professional rugby league? The answer is the same for all three questions, Lucius Banks. It's Black History Month at the moment, and I thought I'd mark it by looking at the life of rugby pioneer Lucius Banks, the African-American athlete who crossed the Atlantic to play professional rugby league for Hunslet before World War I. Anyone who has dug around in the early history of rugby league will have probably heard of Lucius Banks, who in January 1912 made his debut on the left wing for Hunslet against York. But little else is known about the remarkable life he led, and sadly, his pioneering feats have largely been forgotten. So let's start at the beginning. Lucius was born in 1888 in Harmony Village in Virginia, some 60 miles from Richmond, the city that was the capital of the slave-owning Confederacy during the American Civil War. Given that the Civil War had ended only 23 years before Lucius was born, it's quite probable that his parents were born into slavery. When Lucius was very young, the family moved to Arlington, Massachusetts, a small, predominantly white town 6 miles from Boston, where his father found work as a manual labourer. Lucius attended the local Arlington High School, where, despite being one of the few black students, he was the starting pitcher for the school baseball team and also wrote for the school magazine. When he left Arlington High, he joined the US Army's 9th Cavalry Regiment. The 9th was what was then known as a coloured unit, which meant that, in line with the racial segregation which was imposed in the US Army at that time, it was composed entirely of African-American soldiers. Lucius seems to have been part of its 100-man detachment that was based at the United States Military Academy at West Point in New York State. The 9th Cavalrymen were at West Point to teach its elite white cadets the art of horse riding, and Lucius was one of those teachers. At West Point, Lucius also played for the Cavalry Department's baseball and football teams, and it was while playing quarterback in a football match in 1911 that he was spotted by a member of the Hunslet Rugby League Club's committee, who was on business in New York. It's unclear who the committee member was, or what his business was in New York, or indeed why he was even at the Cavalry football match. Nevertheless, Lucius made such an impression on that committee man that on the 10th of July 1911, the Hunslet committee discussed a report about Lucius and decided to offer him a contract to move to Yorkshire to play for the club. As Lucius was then in the army, he told the committee that he had to have the agreement of his commanding officer, and in September the committee wrote to Captain G.V. Henry of the 9th Cavalry, explaining the position. Captain Henry appears to have raised no objections to Lucius's pioneering move, and history was about to be made. Lucius was not the first black player to play rugby league. A 1903 team photo of the Pendlebury Amateur Rugby League team in Manchester shows an unnamed black player in the side. But Lucius was the first recorded black athlete to play professionally. He was followed shortly after in 1913 by Jimmy Peters, who signed for Barrow after an illustrious rugby union career with Bristol, Plymouth and England. By signing for Hunslet, Lucius also became one of the first African Americans to be a professional player in any code of football. In American football, the first black professional player appears to have been Charles Follis, who in 1904 signed a contract with the Shelby Blues of the short-lived Ohio League. But this was long before the NFL, and pro football at this time was a series of badly organised and short-lived regional leagues that had no national presence. So Lucius became the first black American professional to play in a nationally organised football league. He made his rugby league debut on the 17th of January 1912, where he scored a try against York in front of 6,000 people at Hunslet's famous Parkside ground. He went on to score tries in each of his next four matches, no doubt helped by the fact that his centre partner was the immortal Billy Batten. It also seems that the club thought that his experience as a quarterback would translate to the standoff position, and he began the next season as Hunslet's number six. This switch of position was not so far-fetched as it might appear. The forward pass had only been legalised in American football in 1906, and it was not widely used, so the role of the quarterback was still to hand off or laterally pass the ball or run himself. Hunslet were clearly committed to Lucius's long-term success. The lad will feel a little strange for a short time, and we hope that he will receive every encouragement, wrote the club programme. And to help him settle in, the committee found him a job with a local saddler to make use of his riding skills that he had developed while at West Point. However, despite the fact there's no indication that the Hunslet committee ever discussed the colour of Lucius's skin, For example, the club programme never seems to have mentioned it, the local press sought to whip up racism against him. A letter that protested against the importation of a foreigner, which did not even mention Lucius's colour, was disgustingly headlined "Hunslet's Coloured Coon" by the Yorkshire Evening Post, while the Yorkshire Post itself complained about the gimmick of coloured players from America. Hunslet were outraged at this, and in March 1912 they demanded a public apology from the newspapers, with the same publicity that was given to the original insults. None appears to have been forthcoming. But despite the racism of the local press, it appears that Lucius was popular with the Hunslet fans and made a real contribution to the side. In November 1912, he was even compared to the great Billy Batten when he leapt over a Bradford tackler, a skill that was outlawed in rugby league and is now confined to the gridiron. This was also a time of change for the Hunslet club itself. The great team that had been led by Albert Goldthorpe, which had done the clean sweep of all four cups in 1908, was breaking up, and the club was uncertain how it could return to its glory years. Sadly, in December 1912, Lucius decided to return to America. He had not successfully made the transition from quarterback to standoff, and, probably more importantly, the contrast between living in New York State and South Leeds may well have resulted in significant homesickness. On Boxing Day 1912, the Hunslet Matchday programme announced that Lucius would be returning home on New Year's Eve. "We know you will all join with us in wishing him a pleasant voyage and every success in the future." And there, it appears, the sporting career of the man who had been the first American pro rugby player, the first transatlantic league player, and the first black athlete to play top flight rugby league ended. He returned home to the Boston area, and when America entered the First World War in 1917, he joined the 349th Field Artillery, with whom he served in France as a first lieutenant. When the war was over, he joined the Boston Police Department. In September 1919, Boston policemen had gone on strike, and the governor of Massachusetts, the future US President Calvin Coolidge, refused to negotiate and recruited new cops to replace the strikers. Lucius was one of those, being recruited in November 1919, but he soon found that racism was as rife in the police service as it was elsewhere. In the summer of 1922, he arrested a drunken white man who had propositioned two black women on the street. However, the man then complained to the police that Lucius had treated him roughly, and when the case came to trial, he was acquitted. The accused had powerful friends. One of his character witnesses was the local state senator George Curran, and it appears that Lucius had now become a marked man in the police department. In 1926, he was dismissed from the police for unspecified conduct unbecoming an officer. His dismissal became an important campaign for the city's black community. In 1932, the Massachusetts State House of Representatives overwhelmingly voted for his reinstatement into the police, one representative stating openly during the debate that Lucius had been framed out of the police department because he is a coloured man. He was reinstated, but it wasn't until May 1950, fully 18 years later, that he finally received financial compensation. And this was only because the state's House of Representatives passed an act, but by this time, Lucius had been retired from the police department for 6 years. He died in February 1955 and was buried in Arlington's local cemetery. Such was his standing in the community that the flags on Arlington's public buildings flew at half-mast. His son, Richard L. Banks, became one of Boston's most prominent civil rights lawyers and in 1980 was appointed as a judge. And so, the spirit that took Lucius Banks to Hunslet to become America's first pro rugby player in 1912 and black history pioneer lived on. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Rugby Reloaded podcast. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my name is @ColinsTony, and if you want to dig a bit deeper into the history of rugby and the other football codes, take a look at the Rugby Reloaded website at www.rugbyreloaded.com. Until next week, thanks for listening.